Welcome in. In this lesson, we're building a thing that sounds simple, but it's one of the biggest pro difference moves in jungle and old school D&B, a sub that is club proof and mono solid, while the vibe, grit, and VHS rave wobble live safely above it. The name of the game is separation with discipline. We're going to split one base performance into two layers, sub, which never breaks, and color, which can get trashed in a tasteful way. And when you do it right, you get that early rave tape character without sacrificing punch, headroom, or translation. All right, open Ableton Live 12 and let's build it. First, create a new MIDI track and load operator. We're going for the cleanest possible foundation. So an operator set oscillator at a sign. Keep it mono, one voice, no unison, no spread, no fancy stuff. This layer is meant to be boring. Boring is good. Boring survives big systems. Now shape the amp envelope. For that classic DNB sub behavior, set attack to basically instant, somewhere from 0 to 2 milliseconds. Release is where a lot of people mess up. Too short and you'll click. Too long and it'll blur your kick. Aim around 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on the pattern. Decay and sustain depend on whether you want stabs or held notes. If you're doing a plucky sub, bring sustain down to minus infinity and use decay around 200 to 500 milliseconds. If you want held notes, keep sustain up. Now we're going to add just a touch of harmonics, not dirt. Drop a saturator after operator. Drive around 1 to 3 dB, soft clip on, and really important, match the output level so bypass and engaged are roughly the same loudness. This is not for hype. It's for consistency and a little speaker read so the sub doesn't disappear on smaller playback. After that, add EQ 8. High pass at about 20 to 30 Hz with a steep slope to get rid of rumble you don't need. Optional move here. If your kick is living hard in that 40 to 60 zone, you can carve a tiny dip in the sub, but be subtle. Think half a dB to 1 dB, not a crater. At this point, play a few notes. If it sounds almost too plain, perfect. That's your never break layer. Now we split it. Group operator into an instrument rack. Open the chain list and create two chains. Name them sub and VHS color. Easiest workflow is to keep the same synth source on both chains so both layers follow identical MIDI. The only thing that changes is the processing, and that's how we keep phase coherent until we intentionally add movement. Let's lock down the sub chain first, because this is the part that protects your mix. On the sub chain, add EQ 8 and set a low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. Use a steep slope, 24 dB per octave minimum. If you want it to feel really crossover-like, push it steeper, even 48 dB per octave. This is a guardrail. The sub chain is not allowed to carry all that mid-range chaos we're about to create. After that, drop utility, set width to 0%. Turn bass mono on and set it around 120 Hz. Yes, it's redundant with the low pass. That redundancy is intentional. It's the belt and braces approach. Then set the gain so you've got headroom. A good target is that the sub chain is peaking somewhere around minus 10 to minus 6 dBFS on the track meter. Not because numbers are magic, but because it keeps you from building the whole SOM on a clipped foundation. Now we build the fun chain. VHS color. First thing on the VHS color chain is EQ 8 with a high pass at about 90 to 130 Hz. Again, treat this like a real crossover, not a suggestion. Use steep slopes. Here's a key coaching point. If your kick ever starts feeling weak, the first thing you should suspect is sub-contamination in the color chain. Later we'll verify that with spectrum. Now add your tape-ish saturation. In Live 12, roar is the move. Start with a tape or soft clip style. Drive modestly, like 5 to 12%. Small moves. If you crank it, you'll get excitement, but you'll also get a brittle, fizzy mess that won't sit with cymbals and breaks. Keep the tone a little darker. Roll off some top and side roar or plan to EQ after. If roar's dynamic section is on, use it lightly just to catch spikes, so your tape stage doesn't overreact to certain notes. If you don't want roar, saturator works fine. Drive maybe 6 to 12 dB with soft clip on. Turn color on if you want a more analog clip feeling. But remember, saturation creates harmonics, so you'll almost always need EQ after to keep it from getting harsh. Now, the VHS motion. This is where people accidentally destroy their low end. Rule. No wow, no flutter, no chorus, no time wobble on the sub. Only on color. Pick one modulation method to start. If you want a wow-ish drift that feels like tape, add chorus ensemble. Set it to chorus mode. Put rate very slow, around 0.15 to 0.35 Hz. Amount around 10 to 25%. Keep width controlled, maybe 30 to 70%. If it starts sounding facey or seasick, you've gone too far. Alternative is auto filter acting like a motor wobble. Choose a low pass or band pass. Set the LFO rate super slow, like 0.08 to 0.25 Hz, and keep the amount small, 5 to 15%. Add a touch of drive inside auto filter if you want it to choose slightly. Here's the teacher note. Aim for a stable fundamental and moving harmonics. The listener should feel motion, but the pitch center shouldn't feel drunk. If it sounds pitchy, it's usually because the motion is hitting too low in frequency or because you're stacking multiple modulators. Optional but authentic, a noise layer. This is the air of the era. You can do it with a separate audio track using a vinyl or tape noise sample, or you can use operator's noise oscillator if you're duplicating sources. The trick is to keep it out of the sub and keep it from masking your hats. High pass that noise around 200 to 500 Hz, then low pass around 8 to 12K. Then sidechain it lightly to your kick or snare so it breathes with the groove. That movement is what makes it feel like hardware and sampling, instead of a static hiss sitting on your mix. Now finish the color chain with EQ polish. If it gets boxy, dip around 250 to 400. If it gets fizzy, low pass somewhere between 6 and 10K depending on how aggressive you want it. And if you need that old-school speaker bite, a tiny presence bump around 1 to 2.5K can make the bass read through a breakbeat without turning up the whole channel. Cool. Now we glue everything together with macros and proper gain staging. Go back to the rack and create macros. Map one macro to SUB level, one macro to color level. Map another to your VHS drift amount, meaning chorus amount or auto filter LFO amount. Map another to tape drive, meaning roar drive or saturator drive. And map a color tone macro to a filter cutoff or an EQ tilt, so you can darken or brighten quickly without hunting through devices. Now set your balance. A solid starting point is color sitting 6 to 12 dB quieter than SUB. You're not making a second bass that competes, you're making an aura that wraps around the sub. Then make sure the combined output isn't slamming your master. Leave room for your drums. Jungle is drum music. The bass supports the drums, not the other way around. Now let's do the checks that keep this mix safe. First, verify the crossover like an engineer. Put spectrum on the color chain. Play your bass and look below your split point. You want it effectively quiet down there. If you still see a bunch of energy at, say, 50 to 90 Hz, increase the high pass slope, move the crossover slightly, or both. This single habit prevents most why did my kick lose punch problems. Second, check mono. Temporarily drop utility on the master and set width to zero. If your bass collapses, don't panic. It usually means your color chain has too much width too low, like in the 120 to 250 range, or your chorus is too wide. Reduce chorus width and amount, and make sure the color high pass is doing its job. Third, if the low end suddenly feels smaller when both layers are on, check polarity and timing. Some modulation and oversampling can make the color chain feel a tiny bit late. Quick diagnostic. Temporarily turn off the modulation on color. If punch returns, that's the culprit. You can also flip phase on one chain using utility, just to test. If flipping makes it bigger, you've got a phase relationship problem. At that point, either simplify modulation, reduce latency-heavy settings, or print the color chain to audio so it becomes stable. Now let's make it feel like an actual jungle arrangement, not just a sound. Think in 16 bars. Bars 1 to 8, keep it relatively clean. Modest drive, modest drift. Bars 9 to 16, lift it. Bring up color level a touch, increase drift slightly, maybe brighten the tone a hair. Then here's a classic pre-drop tension trick. In the last bar before the drop, reduce SUB by 1 to 2 dB and push color a bit. It creates this illusion of instability and excitement. On the drop hit, snap SUB back and pull drift down slightly so the first kick lands like a hammer. Another fun technique is call and response with tone instead of notes. Keep the same MIDI for two bars, but alternate processing. Bar A darker and stable. Bar B a little more drift and maybe a slightly higher crossover. It creates conversation without rewriting your bass line. Now, advanced upgrades if you want more control. One is a three-band rack, sub, body, and air. SUB is under about 110 and mono clean. Body is roughly 110 to 450, mostly mono, where you focus tape and compression. AIR is 450 and up, where you can do the stereo wow, the noise, the sparkle. This gives you VHS shine without messing up the weight. Another is transient stabilized color. If you have fast jungle patterns and some stabs burn harder than others, put a gentle compressor before saturation on color. 2 to 1 ratio, medium attack. Medium release. You're not squashing it, you're feeding the tape stage a more consistent signal. You can also do a dynamic crossover. Map the SUB low pass and color high pass to a macro so they move together. In verses, split lower for weight. In lifts and fills, split higher for more bite and less low mid clutter. It's subtle, but it's the kind of automation that makes a loop feel like a record. And if you want maximum authenticity, besample, print only the color chain to audio, either by freezing and flattening or by resampling. Then process that printed audio lightly with Redux, super subtle, and a gentle top roll-off, maybe even a gate so the noise comes and goes with the bass. Old school is often committed, printing forces decisions, and it often sounds more real than endlessly modulating a live chain. Let's finish with a quick practice task so this becomes muscle memory.